new National Park softball coach Autumn Wyatt is in her first head coaching position. But after finishing her bachelor's degree in criminal justice at East Central University in Ada, Oklahoma, she was unsure what her plans would be going forward. She applied for master's programs in both coaching and criminal justice, and in her words, left it up to fate. She was then accepted into the coaching master's program at Southern Arkansas University, which put her on her current path. I recently spoke to Coach Wyatt about what exactly brought her to National Park College in Garland County. I'm James Lee, and this is Garland County Locker Room, brought to you by the Sports Department of the Sentinel Record.
I want to welcome Coach Autumn Wyatt to the podcast today. She is the new head softball coach over at National Park. How are you doing today, Coach?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
So, start off with, tell me a little bit about yourself. I know that you went to, was it East Central?
Yes. So, East Central University in Ada, Oklahoma. It's a Division II institution. So, I played there for 4 years. Loved my time there, met some great people. And then I graduated with a criminal justice degree, actually. So, obviously not using that, but kind of after I graduated, I wasn't really sure what direction I wanted to go. So, how I approached it was I applied for a bunch of graduate assistantships for softball coaching, and I applied to schools that either had a criminal justice master's or a coaching master's, and I kind of just left it up to fate of, okay, whichever one accepts me, whatever program that is, that's just the direction I'm going to go. So, fast forward, I got the graduate assistantship at Southern Arkansas University, which had a coaching master's. So I spent 2 years there. We were very successful, lots of fun, got my foot in the door coaching-wise. And then I took a assistant coaching position up in New Hampshire with a coach that I actually played for at East Central. So it kind of came full circle up there, which was really cool. Far away from home, things like that, so moved back a little bit closer, back to my alma mater, and was able to be the assistant athletic director for compliance and academics. So working more the administration side, behind the scenes, eligibility, things like that, game day administration. Wow. And then after 2 years of that, just realized that my heart belongs on the field, and things worked out, and now I'm here. So.
Yeah. So where's home for you? Where are you from originally?
So I've bounced around a little bit, but I consider myself from Keller, Texas, which is right in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Okay. So still here in Hot Springs, it's not far from home.
No, not at all. And actually, my parents now live in Bella Vista, Arkansas, and my in-laws live in Springdale. So we're all in the same state, which is really cool.
That is awesome. Did you just play softball? Did you play other sports when you were in high school?
So growing up, I did a little gymnastics, golf, softball, soccer. So softball and soccer were what kind of stuck. And so I played those growing up. But then in high school in Texas, they are both actually spring sports. So that's when I kind of had to make my decision, and I just stuck with softball from there on out.
You know, you said that you started with a criminal justice degree. What is it about coaching that made you really decide to end up sticking with that? I know that you said you kind of left it up to fate a little bit, but obviously you loved it enough to even keep that on the table.
Mm-hmm. I think that people that coached me had a big influence on my decision as well. I talked a little bit before about Andy Klaus, who is actually who I went to coach with up in New Hampshire. So he just showed me, I mean, how important a coach can be in your life. And we're 10 years down the road, and we talk on a very regular basis still. And so I think he had a big influence. And then just my graduate assistantship, teaching the game that I absolutely love. I think one of the best things about coaching is telling them something and just seeing things click together, seeing the light bulb turn on and a correction you make, and they go out and be successful, and just the joy that they feel from that. And it fills you with joy, too, of like, hey, I know what I'm doing, and hey, I'm helping these athletes move on and be successful. But beyond the on-the-field part, I think the best part is just getting, whether it be baby shower invitations, wedding invites, just the off-the-field things, to know that they still want you around after their time with you. So I actually received a Christmas present from a couple of my former players before. I will get letters of recommendation requests from student athletes. So just little things like that to know that you did have an impact, and that just feels really good.
Absolutely. So I know you said you went to SAU. Y'all had a little bit of success while you were down there too, if I remember right.
Yeah, just a little bit. I got to get myself a nice shiny ring, which is always nice. So we made regional appearances both years. And the second year I was there, we actually made a run in the World Series and ended up in third place overall.
Awesome. So what was that like?
Oh my gosh. One of the things I told the girls when they got here, I was like, I want to get there just so you guys can have that experience. I mean, going out there, we got to ride on our own plane just to ourselves and everything like that. Going out there, getting the swag bags, getting the royal treatment. There was like a little barbecue with the other teams and meet and greets and things like that. Just a very well-ran event of you have your set practice days, practice times. I mean, it was in beautiful Virginia, which is gorgeous in the May. So, I don't know. I just want that for everybody because being able to, I would have loved to play on that level, but even getting to coach on that level and just know that you're one of the best teams in the nation is just unreal.
Yeah. What was it like for you, you know, knowing that you went to East Central, going to coach at SAU? I know that they're both GAC members, a little bit of a rivalry there.
Oh, yes. I heard about it a little bit. I'm not going to lie. So they were kind of teasing me about going there and everything like that. But when I got on the field, when I was still coaching, I obviously still played with some of the girls that we would coach against. So it was just kind of poking fun back and forth. But actually, before I took this job, I also coached at University of Arkansas Monticello. So I've made my trip to three GAC schools so far, so that was kind of the running joke of I'm making my rounds or whatever, so.
Yeah. So you said you did a stint in the compliance office.
Mm-hmm.
What is that like? I mean, I know that there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that most people have no clue about. They know these things I have to do to stay eligible, but beyond that, I know there's a lot more that goes on to it than just the few things that the kids think about or their parents think about.
It is a 24/7, 365 kind of thing. I mean, when recruiting, so each coach and each sport kind of has their highs and lows of when they recruit. So you would bring me transcripts of recruits, and I'd have to double check it through NCAA bylaws to see, are they checking all of the boxes? If not, how can we get them to check the boxes? Is it them taking another class? If it's a junior college transfer, is it getting them in a summer class really quick? Or if they do come in, if I happen to not get the transcript or whatever, and they just bring in the stud athlete and are like, all right, let's see what we can do. It's filing paperwork through the NCAA, getting personal statements, transcripts, financial deposit statements, anything that we can do to show why they deserve to be eligible. One thing I didn't like, and I think that's why I also went to coaching, is just I feel like they came in my office for one or two reasons. So they're ineligible, or I'm putting them in the transfer portal and they're leaving us. So I just felt like I could never get that positive experience that I wanted. And so as a compliance officer, I was actually able to get quite a few athletes eligible through NCAA appeals and things like that. So I was able to do that for, I would say, 7 student athletes in 2 years. So I know on those particular athletes, I had a huge impact and were able to get them on the field when they thought there was no chance. But it just stinks when you have to break the news to a kid of they're going to have to sit out a year, or you learn that East Central wasn't the place for them. And while you do want to see them succeed, you kind of wish it was still at your institution. So.
Right. So how does it feel being the head coach now? I know you've been the assistant, you've been in the compliance office. How does it feel to actually have a team that is yours, that, you know, whenever they're out there, you know, they're playing for you, not just for you, but they're playing as your team?
It's honestly surreal. So when I was going through the interview process, I did reach out to former coaches, colleagues, things like that, and just talking about, okay, this is a big step and everything. And everyone told me, like, you're never going to feel ready. It's just something that you have to take that leap and just go in, dive in feet first, kind of maybe try to keep your head above water for a little bit and just make it happen. So I think I'm finally starting to feel comfortable. It is very overwhelming. I mean, we do have 22 girls, and they're all mine doing it by myself, but they've been more than welcoming, and I kind of let them know from the beginning of, hey, just because I don't have a set assistant or anything like that, that I can have 22 assistants if you guys help me out. I mean, you guys know the expectations, you know what we're trying to build here and things like that. So if you hold each other accountable, hold yourself accountable, it doesn't matter how many coaches there are, that we can make this thing work and it can be a well-oiled machine.
And what is it like coaching on this level? I know that a lot of people will look at a junior college and they'll be like, well, it's a junior college. But I know that, you know, you'll get kids that are Division I talent that just either didn't have the grades, didn't want to move, you know, because of COVID, they wanted to stay closer to home. What is it like, you know, coaching on this level that may be different from what you did at, you know, a Division II school?
It is very different. So obviously, as a Division II coach and compliance officer, I was used to following the rules. We had so many rules on how many hours we can practice, how many days off, who could be with them, everything like that. And kind of getting here, it's, all right, here's our suggestions, but kind of just go out, put them on the field, and let's get them going. So I think it's trying to balance that and realize I can have them more than I was used to before. And I think something else that's different is, like you said, kind of the stigma attached to junior college, and that's what I'm really trying to break. So it shouldn't be a last resort or anything like that. I want to get to the point where people are choosing National Park over some of these bigger schools. I like to tell kids, when you go to junior college, you have the opportunity to come in and make an impact immediately. And you can still live out that four-year dream. Why, it might be 2 years down the road, okay, if we can get you a lot more reps, if we can get you a lot more exposure to schools that maybe weren't even on your radar before and things like that. And of course, we want to get you a championship and then send you on and maybe win a couple more. So I think I'm really trying to break that stigma of the junior college. And also, like you said, I mean, some of the recruits I've been talking to, I've actually been losing to Division I schools and Division II schools, and I think that's just a testament to the athletes we're trying to bring in. If I'm losing you to that caliber of program, I'm fine with it, because then I know, okay, I'm trying to bring in high-quality athletes. I'm not just looking for people who don't have any other options, and we're kind of just on the back burner.
I know that you haven't been in the job very long. How have these athletes really taken to you? I mean, how have y'all gelled or not gelled? I mean, how has that process gone? Because I know that can always be a trial on any level.
I think coming in, on both parties, myself as well as the team, kind of didn't know what to expect. With change, you don't know how the other side is going to respond, how you're going to be perceived and things like that, so during the first meeting, I think that I threw some things at them that they might not have been used to, as far as super high expectations, how we're going to run things, and things like that. So I think that they took really well to it. It's taken a little bit to get used to just how I expect things to be run and things like that, but I think we're starting to get a lot more comfortable. They're finally feeling like they can joke around with me. I think they were kind of tiptoeing, like, what's okay, what's not. But I think they're learning that I am fun. I know how to have a good time and be sarcastic and things like that. But when you're on the field, I also expect to win and to work hard and hold you guys accountable. So I think it's just trying to find that balance on both sides still of working hard but still keeping softball fun.
Sure. I know that you're not a whole lot older than most of these kids. You know, do they seem to feel like they can be more themselves with you? Do they kind of still hold you up like, you're the coach, I'm just a lowly student, there's that gulf there? How is that interaction?
I think I'm at a really good age right now where they don't look at me as like an old person, per se, but they do realize that I'm old enough that I've been through it before. I've had various experience and things like that. So I'm young enough to where they can still relate to me and say, okay, I'm not too far removed from playing and being in your shoes and things like that. But also, it was kind of funny. So the first couple weeks, I mean, they were just spitting out facts from my bio. So they did their research on me. They were really wanting to know what they were getting into. So I think once they saw the success that I was able to have as a player and as a coach, that they were like, all right, okay, maybe we did get a good one here. And then just on the field, as I walk them through different scenarios and things that I want, and I really explain why we do things, I kind of see them buying in of like, wow, this really makes sense, and we really like this, and this is going to help us be successful. So as we go along, that trust, which is huge, I mean, if you don't have trust, you don't have anything. So that trust is being built stronger and stronger, and I think that's only helping our relationship. I just wanted to plug something really quick.
Sure, go ahead.
So we were actually able to throw together a prospect camp. So on Sunday, October 10th, we're going to be out at Hot Springs World Class High School from 9 to 3:30. And so this is an elite prospect camp that we are going to be taking 13 to 18-year-olds. So kind of that 8th grade to senior range, and really trying to just be on the lookout for future Nighthawks, things like that, get some kids on our radar, really bring some attention to the NPC softball program and things like that. It's an opportunity to play on the field that we call our home field, to kind of get to know me as a coach, how I run things. There will also be some girls out there so they can talk to current players and see what their experience has been like. So I think it's going to be a really exciting camp, and we just want to get the word out and see who we can get out there.
Absolutely. Sounds great. Well, I appreciate it once again.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
It sounds like Coach Wyatt has things moving in the right direction, and the prospect camp set for Sunday seems like something that could bring in some quality athletes for the program. This has been Garland County Locker Room. Our next episode will be released on Thursday, October 7th, as Christian Collins and I preview some of the high school football games to be played this Friday night. If you like our content, please consider subscribing so you can get our latest content as soon as it becomes available. Also, if you have any comments, questions, or suggestions for new episodes, please drop us an email at sports@hotsr.com. We look forward to hearing from you.